My name is Cole Albert.
And I'm Alejandro Serrano.
Nearly a decade ago, we interrupt this newscast, a book about how local television stations can improve content and win ratings, landed on bookshelves.
Among the book's findings, it suggested that how a story is told is more powerful than what the topic of the story is.
Other findings were more troubling. More than 90% of newscasts studied led with crime or public safety stories.
As the newsroom cliche goes, if it bleeds, it leads.
Now, the book did offer solutions to penetrate the sameness that was plaguing stations across the nation.
We recently called Tom Rosenstiel, one of the book's authors, to talk about the book, what has changed, and where local TV news is going.
The book came out about 10 years almost to the day. What were you expecting when it came out, being that it was probably the biggest research project of local TV stations?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to do was to get it into the hands of people who were in the business. And in fact, Charlie Gibson was the anchor of World News Tonight at the time that the book came out. And Charlie not only read a draft of the book, but he bought copies which were sent to the news directors of every ABC-owned local station in the country, because he was moved by the data and the findings in the book. So, and that's why we also asked, people like Bob Schieffer and prominent professionals to look at the book and blurb it if they wanted to, and talk about it. The second effect I think we wanted to have happen was we wanted teachers, academics who teach television, to be keenly aware of the book. You can have a significant impact on changing the course of the way news is produced by aiming at people in college and graduate school who are just forming their own ideas and are going to bring these ideas into the workplace fresh. And, it's in, put another way, sometimes it's easier to teach new dogs new tricks than old dogs.
And being that you got it in the hands of some executives and educators, did you see any change in local stations?
Yeah, I do. It's a little hard to know, cause and effect.
Right.
Television, is going through the same disruption a little later that newspapers have gone through. What is that? Well, in newspapers, you didn't need to buy the newspaper to see their content, particularly when their content was largely free online. And younger people, the next generation of readers, as they grew up, really didn't have a relationship with print. Their relationship with the news was digital, increasingly through social. In television, that disruption didn't happen in 2005 the way it did in newspapers, because people still had television coming into their house. The websites of television stations tended to not be very robust, and advertisers still found television an effective way of reaching people, especially younger audiences. So local TV news actually saw its valuation go up between 2005 and 2014. However, that's changing. We now know that millennials are much, much less likely to ever encounter broadcast television.
About 61% of persons between the ages of 18 and 29 watch television with streaming services as their primary way, according to a 2017 Pew Research Center survey. 31% of the same group said they watch via a cable or satellite subscription.
In comparison, 52% of persons between the ages of 30 and 49 said they watch television via a cable or satellite subscription. 37% of that same group said they consume TV from a streaming service.
local TV news programming, which is basically through over-the-air broadcast or through cable connections, has much, much, much lower penetration with people under 40 than it does people over 40. So you no longer have essentially this toll booth, which if you're watching television at a certain time of day, you're going to hit a large percentage of viewers. That was the way TV news worked, right? So you could count on X percent of the television households were going to be that were on, X percent of televisions that were on were going to be tuned to local news either at 4:30 in the afternoon or 6 o'clock or at 11:30 at night or 10 o'clock at night. And there were some time-tested ways to try and keep them on your channel as opposed to having them go to a competing channel that was airing news at that time. That was the old business. Today, you don't necessarily need to watch the news. I mean, you really, if you want to get local TV news, there are many ways to do it. If you want to get local news, there are many ways to do it without watching television. So we're seeing local TV stations saying, wait a second, we actually are going to have things here that people don't bump into out of its convenience. They are actively going to it because they're looking for it. So in the old model, the model that we were trying to prove didn't really work, people would be watching TV, 11 o'clock would come on, and they would try and catch them with a, you know, violent, light, you know, motion-driven lead story. And they would tease weather because people were interested in the weather, and they would tease them to keep watching until they got to a weather report. We're now in an environment, more so than we were even 3 years ago, where people don't have to watch local TV news for the weather. They are probably not watching an entertainment lead-in on a station that has local news. If you want to see WCPO in Cincinnati or WPIX in San Francisco, you're going to do it digitally. A large percentage of the audience is going to do it digitally, and they have to be going there whenever they go, maybe at 2 in the afternoon, because they're looking for a kind of content that that station is going to be good at.
So, that being said, do you think there are parts of some of the suggestions and recommendations that are made in the book that have been a little less adopted by TV stations that could perhaps improve their chances of continuing to be successful? Or do you think that the things in the book are now, you know, a little bit less likely to be helpful in today's market?
Actually, I think it's the opposite. That at the beginning, when the book came out, there were people who were so ingrained in how to build a newscast. And we have the research in there. We gave people sample newscasts to build. Here's a list of stories, now build a newscast. And over and over and over, we saw that mindset that built the newscast a certain way. Those people need to some degree, those people need to age out of the news business before these ideas can take hold. But the other thing is, you know, in the opening of the book, in the first chapter, I say in the chapter I wrote, you know, we're heading toward a future where the narrator or anchor person of a newscast is not actually the anchor, it's the user. When people start to navigate the web, the digital version of local television news in the future, they're going to decide what the menu of stories is. They are, in effect, going to be building their own newscast. They may not be watching a newscast, you know, start to finish. Take Tegna, which is Gannett's old network of say, very powerful, important local company of TV stations. They have staked a lot of work on something they call Verify. What is Verify? It's fact-checking branded to Tegna stations. They're doing it at every station. They're doing it locally. They're about to launch some national versions of Verify. And it's pretty high-level journalism. It's not accidents. It's not standing in front of a hospital at 11 o'clock at news to give people the latest breaking news about a car accident that happened at 10 in the morning. They believe that Verify is content that will draw viewers in a digital landscape where they're going to a web app and saying, I want to get local news from this place, which is basically where somebody who's 35 today, who's 45 in 10 years, that's how they're going to get their news. And if you're not there, you're not going to, you may not have a station. So the models that I think are in the book apply even more strongly to a future that is a web-dominated local TV news environment.
And also you mentioned how kind of like local TV is now going through what newspapers went. And also, a big part of the book was that quality does win ratings over topic. How do you think is there room for growth for local TV stations in how they tell their stories beyond the television?
Yeah, well, if there isn't, then there's not going to be local television stations. We see it in the data that we do now at API. It's overwhelming and undeniable. Percentage of, it used to be that regardless of age, local TV news was the most popular medium that people cited, that they used most often and they saw most often. For people under 40, it's not even close. It's just not there anymore. And social platforms, they see television and social, they see television news and social, and the sources of that television news may or may not be connected to traditional broadcast. So that content is a story. It's not a newscast, and it's not anchor-driven. It's topic-driven. It's not even correspondent-driven. There may not even be a correspondent in the story. There may be a narrator, an omniscient narrator. It's more like a kind of small documentary, although it may be only a couple minutes long. So if Facebook and Twitter become the dominant distribution network for watching video news, they're different platforms. Or if YouTube is the dominant platform, the style of that newscast is most likely going to be very, very different than a newscast that is there to promote local programming on a network affiliate.
And where do you think the future is? Like, who do you think might be the dominant distributor?
Well, I think YouTube which is Google, is going to be big. They already are in the marketplace offering people subscriptions to what is essentially a less expensive alternative to cable, where you could see a lot of programming that you like. Hulu is there. Netflix is there. There's no news programming that's local on Netflix, but we do see some of the better local TV news chains or companies who are getting extremely serious about their digital content. It wasn't that long ago, really 2 years ago, where it was common to see, and it's still true at many stations, that their digital presence is essentially promoting their newscast. Like, here's what's going to be on Joe's show, the news at 7 with Bill and Leslie, and that it's not really serious digital content. We're seeing places where that is beginning to change, where they are measuring their content very closely, where they are thinking about a subscription model for digital-only subscribers. Is that the future? Some variation of that is going to be the future, and the people who are first in figuring that out are probably going to be in the best position in any given market. TV's free. Cable, you pay a subscription for. If you're not on cable and you're not on broadcast, how are you financing your operation? If it's digital, the future probably is through financing it through digital subscriptions.
And do you actually, so you brought up like Netflix and other streaming services. Would you see possibly a potential for some of those services to pick up or possibly even like produce like an original news program?
So that's a good question. Would they produce an original news program? That's a lot of brand, you know, it's a big investment, a lot of brand you got to create. My guess would be the first thing we'll see is actually somebody partnering with a brand and trying to figure out what kind of news product works on one of those services. Certainly YouTube is a place that doesn't, you know, they don't make content. They have arrangements with content producers. So I could see, you know, that would be a logical choice for those sorts of things to start. When Yahoo was its own company, they were thinking about that. If Yahoo or a big platform company like that is owned by Verizon or somebody, you know, then a partnership arrangement makes some sense there. But again, let's say you're CBS News. The CBS Evening News simply replayed on YouTube exactly the way it aired at 7 o'clock on the East Coast in every evening. That may not make sense. It may be that you've got to have it be up to date every 40 minutes so that when someone watches it, it seems like something that can live in a digital environment, even though it may be video-centric. I think once you're on a platform, on a digital platform versus a television-based platform, you have to be kind of your product has to be native to the nature of that technology.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Look, you know, the main thing that we did in the book was prove by using more sophisticated metrics and longer-term view of ratings that the notion that there were certain topics that you couldn't do on television was baloney, and that it was really quality presentation. We were bucking 25 years of inexpensive research from TV, you know, market research companies that were saying basically the easy way to do this is, you know, hire somebody beautiful, avoid challenging topics, always do, you know, the audience is kind of dumb and this is how you can manipulate them. And, you know, when you're in an oligarchical business, and everybody's doing the same thing, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And we got underneath that research and said, you know what? If you look around, find stations that are not doing that, although they're few and far between. If you look at ratings data over a longer period of time than the sweep week, you can prove that old thinking doesn't work. Or that there's a different way.
Great. Well, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Sure. Hope it helps.
I'm Cole.
I'm Alejandro, and this is Story Bench.